Hello and welcome to Who Does a Podcast. I am your host, Headphone Joe, and I'm here with...
This is Kyle.
And...
Yumiya. I was trying to think of something. If you're listening, if you feel it in here, and it's gotta be right on, baby. Oh, honey.
Hurt me. I suffer. And this is the show where we review, rank, and dig into the soundtrack of some of your and our favorite films. This is episode 106, and we are covering the 1963 film, Bye Bye Birdie. Directed by Gregory Sidney, screenplay by Irving Breacher. Based on the stage.
George Sidney?
What did I say, Greg?
Yeah.
Man, Greg.
Straight up
he really
Gregory.
Threw me yeah. off. Well, that's crazy. Based on the stage play of the same name, starring Janet Leigh, Dick Van Dyke, and Margaret, Maureen Stapleton, Jesse Pearson, Bobby Rydell. Don't know why I said it weird the first time. And Ed Sullivan playing Ed Sullivan.
There he is.
It's crazy. Yes. So we ended up doing
Paul
this film
Lind as well.
Who's that?
Paul Lind.
Did I skip Paul Lind?
Also
he's not in the...
He's no, he's just...
But yeah, he was the dad, right?
I saw you were reading the... Yeah.
Yeah.
Not listed on Wikipedia for some reason.
Oh, he's on my
Yeah, Wikipedia. He's not in the... Not there, but he's down there.
In that little section.
Yep.
Right at the top. He's right there.
A couple weeks ago...
Right next to Maureen Stapleton.
He's out further.
The theory... I think I did say Maureen Stapleton. Did I skip her? I might
No, have. No. I look at no, the paragraph. You look at the box. So we look at two different points.
Yeah, so
I'm looking at the whole
all three of us look at something different. reason I look at the box is because the box also has writer, director, so boom.
It's got the whole rundown.
Yeah, it's got the whole
This is behind rundown. The scenes info, folks. Yeah.
It's like the first paragraph.
Believe it or not, we look at Wikipedia.
Paragraph also does have a... But the paragraph is a paragraph. Like, I got to actually like scan and read.
Hey, look around. Yeah,
I need just bullets. Need Give list. Me some bullets. But
it's out the dome.
So one of the reasons this movie was on our list for quite some time, one of the threads that tied it to why we're doing it around now is we did Tommy a couple weeks ago, which Anne Margaret was in, and Kyle was like, hey, she's also in, and this is kind of like her breakout role, I believe, in Bye Bye Birdie.
Yeah.
So we went ahead and did that.
Yeah, I felt like we hadn't done like a classic in a while, so I was like, yeah, let's go back in time a little bit here.
Yeah, I guess in a while, yeah. We've done quite a few classics, I'd say, this year. Mm-hmm. No, Singing in the Rain is last year. But this year was The Music Man. Is that the name of it?
Music Man. Yeah. Okay. We did a few 70s, but yeah, before that, we did Music Man.
All righty. Well.
Ooh, I got a Music Man tie-in, too.
Kind of. Without any further
ado. Now or?
I'll ask the two of you. Individually, of course, because no crosstalk. Kyle, had you seen this movie before?
I had never seen Bye Bye Birdie.
Rick,
in any
you
form.
Even heard of this movie before?
I had never heard of the movie, but I did know one song, and I didn't know that it was from this movie.
Oh, did you?
Right.
Know? Well,
yeah.
There is one recognizable.
I'll start with you.
And then, I heard Rick. A second song. Go ahead. Yes, sir. The only song I heard of was Put on a Happy Face. But then while watching it, this was my tie into the Music Man. It reminded me of something that I saw on Family Guy, the telephone song.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And
Seth MacFarlane is a big fan of these
he's a huge
late
50s, guy.
Early 60s musical movies.
So I'll put it in the Discord, the little thing I found from it. To share with you guys. I've been holding on to that for weeks.
Yeah, sorry about the delay of the show, people.
Also true, yeah. We're a little
I had a work a situation. Well, first it was the U.S. in the World Cup, so we moved it from Monday to Thursday. Then I had an extremely chaotic work week last week, so needed to move it today. We'll be putting this out tomorrow, and then we will be back next week to stay on our two-week timeline.
Little teaser there.
But Rick, you were saying.
No, I knew nothing about this going in. what captured me the most was Dick Van Dyke didn't look like Dick Van Dyke because I guess he was younger. So, so I'm like, this guy.
I mean, it depends when you see
when you've seen him. Yes. Yeah. So I was like, this guy's a clown. He's funny. And every time they looked over, were they based in New York initially?
I believe so. That's my assumption.
Because I'm like, that
Ed Sullivan show, I think, was in New York.
Yeah. So,
I have no idea.
So I think the Beatles,
it seemed like it traveled around. To
the States,
they made it seem like it traveled when they're like, we're going to pick someone from Ohio. I'm like, why Ohio? So
well, the thing is, they would do like remote broadcasts and like they kind of. You kind of get the sense of it when they're actually filming it. And it's like, all right, now we're going to our Columbus affiliate. Like they'll do remote segments sometimes. But I believe the main studio is in New York. Yeah, of course it's in New York. The Ed Sullivan Theater. What am I talking about?
It was definitely CBS. New York. Yes, yeah.
That's where the late show was.
Yeah, so I just posted that thing to the Discord. For everyone to see in the company.
He could not wait.
I've been holding on to that for weeks.
Ready to go.
The one that I saw was the one on Family Guy. But what I found online was one where they did a split where you hear the Family Guy and underneath it,
I see.
You can see how it ties into the movie.
I always love
it. So I was like, you know, I've been holding on to that one, man. But, what I will say is when, what is it? I don't want to use her name from the movie. When Rosie walked in, I was like, Albert better step his game up because he's about to lose out in life right now. But I didn't hate the movie. So going to my thoughts of the movie, I thought I was going to hate it. While watching it, I was like, man, this sounds so reminiscent of Elvis. Like, so I... And then when homie came out in that gold suit, I was like, I couldn't wear that gold suit.
Wait, you're saying he couldn't wear it or you couldn't wear it?
I couldn't wear it. That suit was tight. That suit was so damn tight. But all in all, I think I enjoyed it. I didn't like. I didn't know how old Anne Margaret was supposed to be at different points. Like I figured she was
really
a high
confusing
schooler,
when they're in that bar scene.
Yeah, so I'm like, how did you get here and this strange. And
yeah.
So I was just confused, but
well, I think she literally says her age during one of the songs.
I can't remember, but there's the song where she says like, when you're 15, you're this, and then when you're 16, you're this. But I think.
Right.
Later, they talked about, like, maybe she was, like, 17, 18-ish.
Mm. I think it's the year
like
the woman,
in
your woman
junior
song.
Year. Oh, no, actually, I think she was a sophomore in high school. So then she's probably still 16 then, yeah.
Yes.
Which makes this even more weird, but okay.
The one good thing is...
It's not weird.
I thought there would have been more singing, but there was just the right amount of singing in this.
Can never predict.
I was like, it was. I thought there would have been less singing.
No,
like when it started rolling, I was like when it got to a point, there was like a song, like a 1 minute scene, and then a song, and then a 1 minute scene, and then a song. I was like, oh, like this is a musical.
Second half, I think, is more packed with songs. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the beginning, when they're still setting stuff up, there's not much songs until the telephone hour. And then once that hits, it's like, it's pretty regular after that.
But no, overall, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the acting. I thought Mama was annoyingly funny. Him being a mama's boy, I'm trying to avoid the scene. Him being that degree of a mama's boy was hilarious. And then you comp that with the dad being, I watched this and I'm like, man, this is like my life. This is that old person back in my day, kids nowadays compared to. And I'm like, I watched this and it's like the second time I'm like, man, I got to really do better in life when it comes to giving kids like a break.
You had like, that realization watching a Goofy movie.
I know,
as well.
But this is like yeah. this hammered it in.
It's a lot of reckonings coming for Rick.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, what's wrong? Yeah, something. The first real season, you know, the whole HR issue. I grew past that. Last year was a tame season for me, but this year I'm like, man, they're coming at my life for this one. But. No, all in all, I did enjoy it at the end. The middle, not so much. But the beginning I enjoyed, the end I enjoyed. I thought all of the acting was good. It felt very... I can see how this would do well on a stage. But no, if you watch...
You did mention this was based on a stage play, right?
I did mention this.
Okay.
So I can
I got too distracted by Paul Lynn not being mentioned.
Yeah. So what I found out was we talked about it being based on Elvis, but the name came from some country singer, Conway Twitty. So he just said he did Conrad Birdie as a joke.
I didn't think about that.
Conway Twitty. Okay.
Yeah.
Conway Twitty, who I think also there's another tie in to the Family Guy. I want to say there's a famous episode where they like cut to
there
Conrad
is a Conway Twitty like all the, he does like an entire song.
Yeah, they like randomly cut to him and he does like a full song once.
So. Like a full 4 minute song.
So you got to find that and throw it on there.
Conrad Birdie. I like that.
But no, I felt like every
He's a more country Elvis, but yes. Definitely Elvis-ish. Yeah.
Based on the clothes, the dance moves.
Well, you know, the big thing is based on Rick. When Elvis enlisted in the army.
Yes. Because I watched the Elvis movie.
I asked you and you were silent.
Hold on, wait. I was like, hold on. Am I missing something? Then I was like, yes, because I watched the Elvis movie.
That's the big Elvis
70% of it.
Got it.
But then he met Priscilla and she's so young. He's so old, like a whole different thing.
Priscilla, good movie.
I still haven't seen it.
Solid.
And I own it. So I got to start watching movies I own instead of going to the theaters. But no, all in all.
Let's do both.
You're right. It's all the anime. I'm trying to get back into video games. So I'm trying to figure out this life thing. But no, I actually enjoyed the music for the most part. I thought the music worked really well in the movie. I didn't have too many complaints. Like, there's no way this is a 5-star movie, by the way. But it's a good, like, 3.5, 4 for me. I enjoyed it more than I thought. I can say that.
All right.
And I had to get this weird howdy thing on Prime to watch it. But there are so many different musicals on Howdy. Like, I found Rock of Ages, which I want to put on there.
No, on the we're list. Not putting that on there. Jukebox.
That is a jukebox musical. We're not doing
But it. Everyone does the singing.
Yeah, but it's a jukebox musical.
I don't care.
All right, so I'll just watch it on Doesn't my own.
I refuse to watch that movie. It looks terrible.
Yeah.
I have no idea. It popped up. There's so many movies that popped
up. Phantom of the Opera also popped up there. I was like, oh, look at that.
So, did you sign up for free? For the
seven-day free trial.
Yeah, I'm just probably going to keep it for a month, see how it works out for me.
I will not. Already
it's $3.
I like to make sure I cancel immediately so I don't,
I normally cancel on day 6.
Big canceler.
Yeah. So
I subscribe and then cancel automatically. All right, Kyle.
Yes.
How did you feel about Bye Bye Birdie?
I had no expectations going in. All I knew about it was the opening one shot of Anne Margaret due to the Mad Men episode.
Let me ask you this.
Which I meant to rewatch and I didn't.
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, okay.
Did you know
it
was
so
the opening?
So eager to get to me and yet.
I just want to know, did you know it was the opening? Because I didn't know it was
the opening,
of the film.
I knew it was the opening. Yes.
Okay.
I believe they referenced that in the episode.
Okay.
But yeah, I didn't know what the plot was. I didn't know Dick Van Dyke was in it until last week. Or whenever we did the last episode, which I think was 3 weeks ago at this point. So I didn't know much about it. So I was pleasantly surprised by this film. It's way funnier than I thought it would be. like it's like I was laughing the whole time. It's very funny. It's more absurdist than I would have expected. Like, I don't know if I've seen a ton of movies from the 60s, but what this felt like is like if you made a movie now that was like a parody of a movie from the 60s, I feel like you get this movie. Like, it has like all those kind of like 60s tropes, but like I said, it's also very funny. It goes places I was not, I never would have guessed. Like, they basically make speed, they make drugs in this movie.
Yeah.
And it becomes like the major plot line by the end of the movie is this little kid's chemistry set. And Dick Van Dyke just invents drugs that makes everyone faster, including the pet tortoise, which keeps coming back and running around, which I was dying at every time that tortoise was running around. I was like, this movie's great.
Now, but in mentioning that, the conductor's eyes, when it started to bug out, that reminded me of the tortoise. I was like, did they just plug the conductor's eye in the tortoise earlier on in the movie?
Oh, they did do like a weird close-up of the tortoise's eye, which I did look like
it did the a same human thing. With
makeup on or something. Yeah,
so
it's very possible.
But
I loved this.
It's all about sex.
Like,
and
I picked up on the Elvis stuff, obviously, but like all the scenes with him. Not to get into scenes, like him getting to the town and like the weird. So they set up the whole thing, right, where like he's gonna do the song and he's gonna kiss her at the end, but why does he have to stay at their house? I was like, this is so strange.
That's so
like,
odd.
Why is he living there? That does his motorcycle's in the living room and he's staying upstairs.
No, but I'm Kyle, like, what's Kyle. Going?
And he's like, where's the beer? Yeah.
Kyle. Not only is he staying there. Dick Van Dyke, Albert and Rosie are also staying there.
Albert and Rosie, like, they're all just living there now. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, I'm
like, there's whatever, no hotels man. In this universe? Like,
no. Maybe that's, like, the idea. It's, like, such a small town that there's nowhere for them to stay.
I thought Mama was going to go live in a hotel, stay in a hotel. But
yeah,
then,
motel, then she ends up staying.
There's the one right, motel Mama was going to go stay in.
And then Mama's going to go out,
Man, I can't wait for scenes.
Crazy.
But
yeah, it was like a romp, man. Like I had a good time with this one. I was having fun.
Alrighty. Well, I had not seen this film either. Surprise, surprise. I enjoyed this film a lot. Kyle kind of crystallized what I was thinking about, and I'll get to that in a little more detail in a second. But
I'd love to know what that is.
This movie reminded in the like, it feels like a parody in and of itself in a weird way.
Right.
Kind of reminded me a lot like Grease, because Grease actually is a parody of like this era film.
Yeah.
So yeah, but no, I thought the acting was fantastic. I thought a lot of the choreography was mesmerizing because they're having some of these big sweeping shots where they're not doing a ton of cutting. So they're keeping oners going. Like, one of the ones that really caught my eye was, I think it's One Boy, when they're doing the One Boy. And then Kim leaves. And then it cuts to Rosie. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the overhead shot of Rosie.
It pans up
she
around,
walks
yeah.
over to this side of the banister, then Kim re-enters the frame, so it pulls back even more. She comes up the steps, and then it comes back down and kind of like frames them as two women in different points in their lives, obviously age-wise, but also in their relationships. I thought a lot of that was really good. The bar scene, a lot of time, a lot of living to do.
I thought
that was really well done.
That was some amazing choreography. Yeah.
I was about to say, man, I was like, a lot of this is pretty well done. But then you got Dick Van Dyke being this comedic actor and everything, and the pratfalls. And I thought that was great. Janet Leigh was great. And yeah, I just thought there was a lot of good, fun, funny things in this movie as a whole. Did get a little long in the tooth as far as like the mileage may vary on some of the different plot points of, oh, now we're cutting this segment to 30 seconds, and then we got to go to the yacht, or the ballet, and the ballet stuff. Yeah. It's like, all right, what is happening now, guys? But for the most part, enjoyed it a whole lot. One thing, yep, though, for me, that would have made this movie better. Conrad Birdie. Did he work for you guys?
His, look, I know we're not at the rankings yet, but honestly, Sincere, it's a bad song. Like,
I was like,
I was like, while watching the movie, while that scene is happening, I'm like, this song sucks. I'm just like, this is just a bad song.
Well, I'm not, song aside, I'm talking more so
as the actor
and his look and his aesthetic. Does he look like the guy that is, because basically, is he a facsimile for Elvis? Is he a stand-in for Elvis?
Right, right, right.
Like, that just didn't,
are you saying,
work for me.
Movement-wise, he worked.
I don't think, I think, I thought he was rigid a lot. Like, they tried to really hone in on the whole wiggling hips and everything.
The hips and
but I was like, man, this guy kind of feels a little rigid. Doesn't look as handsome. Like, if you think of young Elvis, literally one of the most handsome people to walk the earth. Like,
well, how are you going to recreate that unless you're also Butler? Like,
yeah. I was about to say, so one of the things
should've got his granddaddy.
This leads me to what I was saying. Man, it would have been obviously the person was not, I don't even know if he was born yet, but obviously wasn't around to be cast in this. But John Travolta as Birdie would have been like a match made in heaven.
When was Travolta born?
I would say Travolta is probably like maybe 15 years old. This movie being made. Yeah, like,
who knows? Yeah, he's nine. Yeah, when this was released. 1954. So yeah, it's not.
But happening. I was just like, man.
Good point. Yeah, but also, look,
I thought it was fine.
I believed it. It was in serviceable. The world of the movie,
I was
right?
It was serviceable.
Yeah, it's serviceable.
But I was like, there had to be somebody better. Then
so there, but he guy. Was the he wasn't the main guy they wanted. The main guy they wanted had to back out because
he's the second choice.
Yeah, he was the second choice.
I see.
What are you talking about?
Well, that might be part of it.
Oh, you mean in the casting
wise? In the casting.
I was like, yeah. What are we talking about here? Yeah.
So he wasn't the original cast. He wasn't the person originally cast.
Oh, no. The way I read that, so yeah. I read that, but what I read was the original guy that originated the character on stage ended up. So what's my guy's name? Jesse Pearson. He was like the understudy and did the national tour.
Like your guy.
He's definitely not my guy. He was the understudy and did the national tour. And then when the main guy who originated the character got like sick or something, Jesse then went on Broadway and then just ended up getting cast. I didn't see anything, like there wasn't a lot in the production of this. It didn't say anything whereas like he got it over him or somebody backed out of it. That worked with the director, I believe. George Sidney was going to produce the movie. Somebody else was supposed to direct it, but that guy backed out. And then George Sidney ended up directing it. But there wasn't a lot of casting information.
Okay, so it was more of the play side. So
yeah,
you're saying that was he was in the play? Okay.
He was on the national tour of the play. And then the main guy who was doing it on Broadway got sick. So then they brought him back to do the Broadway, like the rest of the Broadway run or something. And then they just plucked him into the movie.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just a thing, you know, doesn't translate on screen as well as stage or something, but
I think the biggest
I thought
issue
he was
is
fine. Yeah.
Kind of looked too old.
I mean, maybe if he's doing the play that long and then the movie starts, like might be in a Dear Evan Hansen situation.
I was like, well, the play doesn't get started until I think 1960 is when the play.
It's 1960, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
look, 3 years in the 60s is like 15 years now. So, I mean, come on, dude. You know,
it's a great point. I think Don Draper is supposed to be like in his late 30s.
I think he has a 40th birthday on the show.
Oh, like you might be right.
I don't remember. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's a
safe to say those people age.
Mileage is different. Yeah. Mileage is different.
Well, yeah, so. But yeah, but my thing is, I mean, I don't remember. When does Elvis get drafted? He's like early 20s?
I looked it up. 1958 was when he enlisted.
So it's Korean War?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I don't even think a war was happening. I think he was just in the army.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's right. Because in Priscilla, he's like stationed in Germany or something like that.
They're not putting Elvis on the... He's not boots on the ground, I think.
Yeah, good point. But, yeah, I was going to say, he just looked a little old. And a little, like, not what I expected that character to be.
Yeah, I think part of it is also, like, when he's not performing, he's just kind of a douche.
Yeah.
So they lean into that a little bit, so that might be a hang-up, too. But I thought, you know, as a performer, I think it worked, like, when he's doing the songs. I just think the songs are bad for him.
Oh, Michael Buffer.
Yeah.
All righty. Anybody anything else they want to add?
One thing that caught my eye, not caught my eye, but like Dick Van Dyke during the Put on a Happy Face, he's doing the dancing around. He's doing like that little penguin walk thing. And I'm like, oh, this is from Mary Poppins. Then I looked it up. This is before Mary Poppins.
So he brought it in.
So he's like that whole scene, they basically do again in Mary Poppins. Wow. Probably just based on this, like. They're like, let's have Dick Van Dyke do a, you know, a whole
do a little dance.
Dancing around with, cartoons and shit.
I mean, they kind of do that. Oh, I see what you're saying with the cartoons and everything.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, okay.
They kind of do that.
That's a good point.
So it's just interesting that it originated here because it's so,
iconic,
like, that part's so iconic. Yeah. So that was 64. This is 63. And also Dick Van Dyke originated the stage version as well.
Yeah.
So he's also coming through. Each version.
I was the only two people to originate their characters, because we talked about how Jesse ended up, but was Dick Van Dyke and Paul Lind. They originated characters on stage and then did them in the movie. So, yeah. I had a little fun fact. Go ahead, Rick.
Because I was going to talk about dancing. So, since it's, when I'm not referring to the scene itself, I'm referring to the dancing in the scene, in the A Lot of Loving to Do. I deem that the dog and puppet dance, the way they were moving with their see Joe's doing it. Yeah,
I see.
I was yes. But killer dance moves.
All right. And then
I need to get some pajamas.
Do you guys know
back then?
Do you guys know who Janet Lynn is?
No, I don't know who Janet Lynn is. But do you know who Janet Lee is?
I know who Janet Lee is.
The L, the IGH name, just completely. Janet Lee. Sorry, do you know who Janet Lee is? So it sounds like you guys do know who Janet Lee is.
Well, which part are we? Which part of Janet Leigh are we? Are you asking about?
Do you know Janet Leigh has passed in 2004, but her presence is still felt to today.
It is in a show we were just talking about before.
Exactly. Rick, are you aware?
A certain cast member of that show.
Janet Leigh is the mother of Jamie Lee Curtis.
Ooh, who then became the next Scream Queen?
Exactly. She carried on the legacy.
There
of her
you
mother.
Go.
And I did not know that.
I was saying Janet Leigh's third husband, Tony Curtis. She had two daughters, Kelly Curtis and Jamie Lee Curtis. Kelly Curtis, unfortunately, passed, I believe, in 2024, I read. But Jamie Lee Curtis still with us today, still active. Had a movie out last year, In the Bear this year. Mm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Freaky Friday was a movie from last year.
I don't know anything she was in. Don't think I've seen any of the Kelly Lee Curtis movies.
Freakier Friday.
And she was in the last show.
She was still doing
Forgot about
she was
that.
Still doing Halloweens until like 2 years ago.
Yeah. But yeah, that was my little fun fact.
Fun fact.
Oh,
but
righty.
Yeah, Psycho is who you would know, what you would know Janet Leigh from.
Yes.
Yes. I thought we were going that route when we talked about
it. No.
So yes, I did not know it at all.
I haven't seen Psycho yet. It's on the list.
It's good.
Most
it's a real good one.
Only one I've seen is Vertigo. All right, on to...
You didn't see the birds?
Well, I saw Vertigo and I saw North by Northwest, actually.
There you go. Two good ones to see.
Two very good ones. All right, on to the rankings.
How do we measure? Where do we stand?
At number...
Number seven, does this bother you?
So in 30th place...
So what do you want to see the most?
All right, we have 14 songs that we are going to rank here. We're going to go 4, 5, 5 because I went with Rick first on the general thoughts. I'm going to go with Kyle first on the rankings. Kyle,
look at that.
Is your bottom four?
Well, they're all top 14, of course, but number 14 for me, We Love You, Conrad. Just a short little song, short little scene. Number 13, How Lovely to Be a Woman. Number 12, Put on a Happy Face. And number 11, Honestly Sincere.
Okay. Did I write it down weird? I was thinking because for my We Love You, it's We Love You / Hate You, Conrad. It's the boys and the girls together.
Let me look at my...
Mine is We Love You, Conrad. So...
Album, it's just We Love You, Conrad.
All right.
Looking at the film soundtrack.
It is We Love You,
I mean, Conrad. we would have figured it out. Yeah, okay. We would have picked it up.
I'm just making sure. I copy and pasted the what's the name off of what's the name? Just
yeah, we know the what's the name you use.
Yeah. All righty. Rick, your bottom four.
Coming in at number 14, We Love You, Conrad. At number 13, Him for a Sunday Evening. At number 12, Bye Bye Birdie. And number 11, One Last Kiss.
All right.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Not my, the gym version.
Four.
I realize that because you didn't say that.
It's not what we're referring to, probably.
I just have to, you know, give him space in case, you know, he's hanging on to a certain phrase at the end of a song.
My
so thank you for clarifying.
14 is Bye Bye Birdie Reprise. Number 13, Him for a Sunday Evening. Number 12, One Last Kiss. And number 11, Kids. Oh, man, I'm mad. I just remembered the other thing I meant to say before we left General Thoughts.
Say it now.
Say it now.
I'm black and I'm proud.
So
we've only done four.
There was another character to character. Like legacy, lineage type of archetype. Connection. Ma Peterson reminded me of Tony Soprano's mother.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
Another show I was I've like, that is, I was like, man, a woman who's just the most annoying person to her son. And just can't let him live his life.
But that plus the son.
Always liking, trying so, to please her.
Yeah, always trying to. So, like, I'll say submissive, I guess. But, yeah.
What's
exactly. Yeah, that whole archetype.
What's her character name? No, not Meadow.
Olivia?
Relative.
Is it Olivia? Livy.
Yeah, Olivia.
Yeah.
So yeah,
close enough.
All right. right, sorry, a bit of a derail.
I don't think there's any that all three of us had.
No, you didn't have him for a Sunday back at the bottom.
No,
nope, that's okay. Well, not been said.
You didn't have We Love You Conrad, though. So no,
we did also
not.
True.
I did not.
Interesting. Okay. All right. 10-6.
Okay, I got the remix. I got We Love You Hate You Conrad.
Yeah, that's
the
thing.
Kyle's middle five, 10-6.
Number 10, One Last Kiss Gym Rehearsal Outtake. Number 9, Kids. Number 8, Bye Bye Birdie, full stop. Number 7, Hymn for a Sunday Evening. And number 6, Bye Bye Birdie Reprise. The end. Yeah, Rick. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I just thought Him for a Sunday Evening was really funny, so
I loved it as
honestly,
a scene.
This is one of those soundtracks where it's like, all these songs are honestly pretty good. Like, it's not really a bad song.
A good amount. I think my top 10 I would stand by. Yeah. Okay. My bottom 4 is like, whatever. We can lose those.
My 14 is the only one I really have an issue with to the degree, but we'll talk about it when we get to it. Rick, your 10-6.
Coming in at number 10, Kids. Number 9, How Lovely to Be a Woman. Number 8, Honestly Sincere. Number 7, One Last Kiss Gym Version. And number 6, Bye Bye Birdie Reprise.
Okay. Number 10 for me, We Love You Conrad, or as I have it, We Love You Hate You Conrad. Number 9, Honestly Sincere. Number 8, Rosie. Number 7, Put On a Happy Face. And number 6, One Last Kiss, Gym Rehearsal.
Alrighty.
All right. So, I just want to say, the reason I have Bye Bye Birdie Reprise as my dead last song.
Okay.
Why does it exist? Like, the movie was done and they just tacked it on for reasons I really can't explain. I was shocked.
It conveys a different message compared to the opening Bye Bye Birdie.
Also, that you can see the change in the character.
Because that was her only growth.
But was it?
Essentially.
I get it, but the issue for me is because the scene, both the top and tail, exist outside of the movie, I really didn't need it at the end because it doesn't feel like any type. Like, Rosie feels like more of an honest closure than just tacking this on.
Sure.
Like,
so. It's the story closure, but again, it's 1963. It's like a show, right?
Like, yeah, I would say it feels like that
opening,
works for
it's like an
stage.
Opening number show and like a closing number show. And also, yeah, it's probably from the stage also. So they're just translating that. And again, like, think of like Singing in the Rain. Like, it opens like with the three of them in raincoats singing the song. And then the movie really starts. But like, I think it's just like an old school kind of thing.
It's a 60 thing.
Yeah, it's 1960. Give him a break.
Anything else?
But to Rick's point that I agree with, I think it shows the character's change.
Again, I feel like her and Hugo and Rosie showed more of the change instead of isolating it.
No, Hugo showed the change. She showed a confused look.
Nah, Hugo showed them fists, boy. My boy got up and acted.
You don't want to mess with Hugo. Enough
we'll
was
we'll
enough.
Talk about Hugo. We'll talk. We do talk about Hugo.
Acted.
Yes.
We do right. talk about.
We don't talk about.
Top fives. Top fives. Or was there any other song you guys
wanted to? Let me take
a discuss.
We all did him. I said it was funny. We all have both. Bye bye birdies, I believe.
No.
Yeah, I want to talk about. We don't. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then maybe I'll talk about that later. One Last Kiss. Did we do both One Last Kisses?
I have both of them listed. I think Rick has both of them listed.
I have both of them listed.
I guess we didn't. Okay, never mind.
So Kyle doesn't have both of them listed.
I don't.
No, Kyle has one left
Let
still.
Me think. Okay. Yeah, so I'm thinking about something. Okay,
it's interesting because the guy whose music he says five. He hated.
I was about to say, does Kyle have Honestly Sincere yet?
No.
Guess what? Yes, I do. Not.
Do you?
Okay.
I had Honestly Sincere 11. And also, okay. One Last Kiss is Albert's song. It is not Conrad's song. So thank you.
Yeah. Are you going by the,
the Conrad's
kind of the plot?
The writer?
Kind of the plot. Part of the plot.
I thought we were going by the singer, but okay.
All right. All right, Kyle, your top.
My point was Honestly Sincere is all him. And he comes into town singing it, and everyone faints.
For those paying attention, I believe, Kyle, don't say anything because you're bad at this. I believe there's still three possibles.
So I was counting it and I was like, should I say anything? And I was like, let me shut up because I'll screw it up. And thank you, Joe. Yes, I believe there's three on the board.
Really, two.
Because ties are back, unlike last episode.
Yes.
All right. Should we just do it?
Let's knock it out.
Number five. Not one of the candidates, Rosie. Number four, One Last Kiss, full stop. Number three, One Boy. Number two, The Telephone Hour. And number one, A Lot of Living to Do.
All right.
Okay.
Rick's top five.
Coming in at number five.
That suspense.
Rosie. Oh, number four. Put on a Happy Face. Number three. One Boy. Number two. You almost got it right, Kyle. A whole lot of loving. Living to Do, and number one, the Telephone Hour.
Another word.
Yes, it is.
Telephone Hour was one for a long time, so I switched it recently, which I'm glad I did.
Good switch, Kyle.
But, you know, we're not out of the woods yet.
Not out of the woods
yet. We're not out of the woods yet. We're not out of the woods yet.
Coming in at number five for you, boy. Bye Bye Birdie. Coming in at number four, A Lot of Living to Do. Coming in at number three, The Telephone Hour. Coming in at number two, How Lovely to Be a Woman. And number one for me is One Boy.
Interesting. That is such a
joke. You're close there. Now I will say this about One Boy. While watching it, I was like, is homie singing? Because his voice is so
adultish
when he's singing compared to when he's talking.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying, like,
and I was like, is this the same guy? And it was the same guy. And I was like, yo, this is crazy.
Bobby Rydell is like a teen idol of the time. So this was probably a pretty big casting choice for them.
It was. I was say it was so big that in the stage play, Hugo doesn't have any songs. And then they decide to add songs in the movie for him.
With Bobby Rydell.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Bobby Rydell then went on, I mean, after later in life, then became a part of a group called the Cornerstone Trio.
The Golden Boys.
Like the Golden Boys with Frankie Avalon and Fabian Forte. And they were touring up until 2022.
Yeah, he's a Philly boy.
Philly kid, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I thought we were gonna. I thought the only place we could have tied.
So no ties.
I was like, okay, are we gonna tie at three? I was like,
yeah, that would have been it.
Yeah, I mean that was on the table after we both went. Yeah. But Joe is true to his heart. With the love song at number one.
Look, man can't change. Oh, boy. You know, his stripes.
I mean, look, it's really good. I especially like how it duets between. What the hell's her name?
Rosie.
Kim and the character? Rosie?
Kim. Yeah, Kim, and then changes to Rosie, and then they both come in at the end. Mm-hmm. I do like that. Hey, it was my number three. I liked it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's solid. But yeah, a lot of living to do. I understand, you know, it's got like the dance sequence in the middle, which is, you know, makes on the soundtrack. It's a little long, but I couldn't deny it, man. Like, that was stuck in my head forever. Especially like the longer we went, the more I listened to the soundtrack, and I'm like, it just popped back up. It popped up to number one. So, but Telephone Hour as well. Where did Joe have that
one? I had it at three.
Yeah, that three. Yeah. Yeah, that one's just such a fun song.
Yeah,
I mean that was your number one, right?
Yeah, it was. It's one of those songs where no, even before like
I know.
Okay. Aside from the Family Guy, it's Rick's type of fun.
Yes,
it's
me as well. It's a bit of a Kyle song.
Like even
don't
the,
say it, Rick. You can't say it.
I'm not gonna say it.
I was not say it.
Did you see me almost say it in my head?
I don't think it's quite there.
So it's not. So it's, I don't what think I was gonna say is it's not that song. But what I was gonna say from the chaos of it is
you can say that about all.
There's a certain portion where there's like talking, and it breaks the song up so well. And then it just jumps right in, and I was like, this is a fun song. And it's been a very long time since I had a fun song at number one like this, because this album, this soundtrack also had a lot of fun songs. There weren't a lot of down, depressing, sad songs. I enjoyed that song. And then watching the Peter Griffin thing, it's even funnier. Now we don't use those words anymore that he uses in it. Those words are banned. But when you watch it, you'll see.
Oh, what?
I don't remember.
You're posting banned videos?
No, banned word in the song. It's a bad word.
In the song?
In the Peter Griffin version.
Peter Griffin. Okay.
When you watch it, yeah.
But you posted that to her.
Okay. I did.
Okay.
Because it's a good watch. I'm not going to not enjoy watching it.
I really want to watch this.
I'm just going to skip that word.
I really want to watch this now. But we can't because we're recording.
Because we got a home banger of
Joe. Yeah, what's going on?
Home run dub right now.
I'm trying Schwarber
not to be Schwarber got to 11. Jordan Walker's on his last swing, but you get to swing until you swing out. And he just got to 10.
Right.
So.
Oh, boy.
Very interesting. Come back from behind and win this.
Joe, you have How Lovely to Be a Woman at two.
Yes.
What's going on there?
I really liked Anne Margaret singing. and I really enjoyed the perspective of a woman, a young girl, actually, coming into her own as far as her maturity. I thought it was funny and also naive in ways. How she thinks literally this one turn of the age makes her this more adult person, to where she can call her, after this scene, she then calls her mom by her first name and her dad by his first name. It's like how naive, how humorous this child thinks they're now on the same level as their parents. Jordan Walker has won the home run derby.
To say that, but how goofy did she look? I don't wanna hear that. She put on
she had like shades, and she looked
she had that weird hat.
Like an art student in the '70s or something.
It looked like she was putting a disguise on. I'm like, where is she going?
I was like, what's going on?
I thought she was trying to sneak
here?
Out somewhere. Yeah.
Also, am I bugging? She dyed her hair blonde, but then by the next time we saw her later, she was back to her normal hair color.
I had that noted down. Yeah, that was a very weird scene. Like everyone freaked out because she dyed her hair. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, it's back to where
a scene later, it's back to red.
Yeah. It's like, okay. I wrote down, did she dye her hair back? Like, what?
Yeah, I was like, what? Yeah. And then when they got upset about it, I was like, well, the mom's blonde. I mean, it can't be that crazy.
I don't know.
So
I don't know. It was,
but yeah, I didn't love that one. It just felt weird.
Yeah, I liked it though.
I can't deny that.
Alrighty, that is it for the rankings. Hope you guys enjoyed that, because now we got some lines to play.
Your favorite line.
My favorite line.
How do you pick one, right?
And I think one of the sort of lines that resonates most with me is...
I was like, Kyle, if you notice, I got squeamy at a certain point. He had got on top of one, and I thought he was going to hit it foul, and that would have been his last one. Mm. But that ended up just getting to the fence and getting his ninth home run. So, but yeah, he ended up catching your boy in this home stadium. Unfortunately, Schwarber doesn't get
well, what are you gonna do?
The home run derby. Does Schwarber have a home run derby title already or no?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I was only really caring because it was at Philly.
Yeah, it's at Philly.
Most years I could not give less of an F.
All right. Yeah, I usually don't care, but then at the end it kind of got interesting there.
Well, look, if it wasn't on Netflix, I would have it on. But so that's their loss.
Right. You don't have Netflix. I keep forgetting that. All right, Rick's number three line.
Why look so awfully tragic? Put on a happy face. Smiling can work like magic. Put on a happy face. Take off the gloomy mask of tragedy. It's not your style. You look so good that you'll be glad you decided to smile. Pick out a pleasant...
Those were some very good lines, but he forgets that he is the reason she's not smiling. It's like he's singing the song without realizing he was so aloof as a man in character. Yeah, but wonderful scene though. Dancing with that clone.
Mm. Yeah, that was pretty interesting. Pretty
that cool. That was a dope scene.
Alrighty. My number three line.
Put on a happy face. Put on a happy face. Why do you mope around so sourly? It's such a strain. I always try to chuckle hourly. It clears the brain.
I would say you can hear the Dick Van Dyke interplay in his voice. Why do you mope around so sourly? It's such a strain. Chuckle hourly, clears the brain. Just a funny modus operandi for this character that is pretty much on display for the whole movie. Like Rick said, he's kind of aloof. We haven't really talked about, quote unquote, the plot of the film. So
not really.
Dick Van Dyke's
the
character,
whole Conrad stuff. There's like three plots in this movie.
Yeah. That is true too. But the Dick Van Dyke Rosie plot is Dick Van Dyke, I believe, has taken over his father's music writing business.
Yeah, and something
is
like that.
Failing and fledgling. He wants to be a scientist because that's what he went to school for. His secretary, who's also his girlfriend, who his mother doesn't approve of, and because he doesn't have his mother approval. His mother, because he doesn't have his mother's approval, he won't go out and just date her.
He's like hiding. Yeah, he's hiding their relationship. Yeah.
So yeah, he has to write a hit song to either keep the business afloat or to satisfy his mom, or just quit. And then his mom hates him. And he's just constantly trying to always please his mom. And then when his mom's not there. Apologizing to Rosie and tell her, like, we're right there. We're going to be a thing. So he's kind of just caught in this no man's land of being a bad son and being a bad boyfriend.
At the same time,
he just sits in that for the most part.
You say
trying to please everyone, he pleases no one. Yeah.
He tries to apologize, but that scene early on when you think he's saying, I love you to her, and then he says,
yeah.
My mom. Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Yeah.
So you guys, that song doesn't irritate you guys?
Is my only one?
You guys said it pretty high. I was like,
no.
Okay. I had seven.
Just checking.
I had seven.
Yeah.
Okay. Kids annoyed me more than that. Number three.
Kids was my biggest drop.
One boy, that's the way.
Yeah, that's the way it should be.
One boy, one certain boy, one boy to laugh with, to joke with, have coke with. One boy, not two or three.
So that was one boy, believe it or not. I really liked the interjections there from Hugo. He's like, yeah, yeah, that's the way it should be. It's me. But then to laugh with, to joke with, have coke with, I thought was very funny. Because like with the whole thing with like getting pinned and going steady, it's like that whole like innocent veneer over, you know, the whole idea of when a man and a woman get together. Like, it's just so funny that you have to like keep it at a certain level of like, yeah, we just like go out of cokes together, you know. That's what this is.
I was, I thought it was funny when eventually I mean, I think we all thought, you know, getting pinned, you know, meant something.
I thought it meant something else.
Later, is getting stuck.
And then later she like takes a pin off and gives it to him. And oh,
it's a literal pin. Yeah.
No, I knew what it meant there, because when she said got it on the back of the school bus, when she said back seat, I was like, back seat.
Hey, man. I still was thinking, you know, I seen some crazy things go down. Not that crazy, obviously. Not all the way, but, you know, some heavy petting. I've seen some heavy petting.
In some buses. On the
back
buses.
I'm not going to confirm or deny anything related to buses.
But I think it's in the song.
It's just... Yeah.
Where it's like, did he put it on? Like, was he brave enough to actually, you know, use the pin?
I thought
that was a long-ass pin, though.
I thought it was putting moves on her.
Yeah, it's something. It could be one of those.
So I'm saying it was a good little innuendo. I was like, oh, man. But it was really
good stuff. Okay.
This movie is filled with innuendos.
All right, Rick's number two line.
Hello, Mr. Hankel. This is Harvey Johnson. Can I talk to Penelope and...
Drew about Kim.
Penelope.
I just knew it somehow.
About the prom.
I must call her right out.
Saturday.
I can't talk to you now.
Go on, Daddy.
You know it, man.
Go on, Daddy.
It's crazy, man.
Go on, Daddy.
You know it.
It won't last. Not at all. He's too thin. She's too tall.
Hello, Mrs. Miller.
How long was that?
That was
less than 40
seconds.
Less than 40.
Well,
yep.
It's supposed to be less than.
It was 30 seconds,
I think.
Less than 30. It was like 27.
It was like after. It was like 28.
Felt like half the song.
No, that's just anyway. That's just the first. That's his first portion. I alluded to that. Kind of alluded to that. He just wanted a date. Everybody trying to talk about this pinning. I felt bad for the guy.
Poor guy.
He's calling every girl he knows on the hotline.
You're not wrong, man.
But I was wondering while watching it, is this where the Brad Pitt dance came from?
from Burn After Reading?
Yeah.
That's what you were doing.
I was like, oh. Enjoyed those dance moves. But the shower scene was weird as hell, because I'm like, the boys and girls showers are real close. In that song.
I think that was more of a visual.
No, there's a point where they like look at each other and start. It was a visual thing, but I thought it was funny. It was a Rick
song. So I was one of the people I always thought was somebody's mother. Am I tripping?
Huh?
I thought somebody's mother was on one of the phones at some point.
At the end? I thought you meant in the shower. I was like,
hold on. That's what I thought, too. I know they had the telephone operator who was just tired of it at the end. But
yeah, she didn't like that.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to watch it back. I think our mother was in the shower. That didn't look like a teenager.
Most of them didn't look like teenagers.
Well, first you said on the phone.
You said on the phone, and then you said...
I'm saying, because everybody was talking on the phone is what I'm saying. And it was cutting through scenes.
Not in the shower, though.
No one was on the phone in the shower.
No one was on the phone.
I swore somebody.
I don't think that's possible.
You have to go re-get who? Howdy?
I still got 7 days, even though it's canceled. So.
Okay, you're right. You watched the number two yesterday.
Yes, I'm gonna break out, gonna take off, gonna be free. This town is awfully square for a cat like me, or I'll be a super jet pilot. Fly me high, way out in the blue. Then they'll see I'm no shrinking violet. Hey, I've got a lot of living to do.
I thought it was funny that he said this town is too square for him. He seems like the most square dude we've ever met.
Dude, this was my fourth line. Like this was, I had that exact part clipped out, or not clipped out, but written down. I'm like, this is the squarest dude of all. What is he talking about?
I know.
And I get like, that's kind of the point of the song. It's like, you know, I have so much more I could be doing. You know, I got a lot of living to do. I'm just caught in this small town. So that's the mentality. But I'm like, dude, come on, man. come on, Hugo.
Yeah, so I thought that was very funny. All right.
That's very good.
Kyle's number two.
He wasn't a square at the end.
And also Rick's number one.
Kids, who can understand anything they say? Kids, they are disobedient, disrespectful oafs. Noisy, crazy, sloppy, lazy loafers. While we're on the subject, kids, you can talk and talk till your face is blue. Kids, but they still do just what they want to do. Why can't they be like we were, perfect in every way? What's the matter with kids today?
So mine was more the second half there. But why can't they be like we were, perfect in every way? That's just such a good encapsulation, you know, of the old guy mentality. I have that mentality too. It's like, why are they so annoying? I was never annoying. I was a perfect when I was younger. But now these kids, they're nuts. But that's more why I picked that one.
Right, and Rick?
But Rick's number one.
I picked it because it's
amazing.
Prior to listening to the song repeatedly and then dropping it, I'm like, this is how I feel about kids nowadays.
Exactly.
So I was like.
But I think part of the joke is, you know, it's they're out of touch.
Yeah. And kids nowadays are. Here I am, double downing on
no,
the
I
old
meant the
man.
Parents the are parents. Out of touch, not the kids is what I'm talking about.
No, I'm just saying kids are this lazy and all this crap now.
Well, so.
But that's a generational thing. They say it every is. Every generation says the same thing.
I know. And that's why I said I had to drop the song.
And now you're like, I can't help it.
I can't help it.
Yep.
What can I say?
The funny thing is,
it's the people raising the kids as well.
I was gonna say, it's the people that are raising the kids never look inward and be like, I've given them such a cushy life.
The ones that complain
where they
the most. Yep.
Don't have any, like gumption or they want to go outside. Like, I've insulated them enough to where
look,
now I'm like, look at this lazy kid.
One of our favorite shows, Succession.
Hey.
Yeah. One of the big themes.
What I can say is I don't feel that way about my kids because they do not get that.
Well,
yes, no, so 9 times out of 10, I blame the parents. I had a horrible argument at work about this.
If you have access to the movie still, at the 12-minute, 52-second mark, when homeboy is making the first phone call to somebody, this woman is like in a bubble. She's completely covered in bubbles. And she looks like an adult woman, and somehow he's on the phone. Because that's what it is. He's like, hey, can I talk to so-and-so? Like, the mom answers the phone, and she's like in a bubble bath.
You're talking about a bath scene. I'm talking the shower scene.
A bubble
scene.
Bath is not a shower.
She's like standing in the bubble bath, though. She's not laying in this bubble bath.
Hold on. Let me.
Man, you're going to make me go on my there. Thing.
12,
I'm just
52?
Saying. This is a weird. This
oh,
is not
she
a
is
lay
standing
down.
In bubble
bath. It's not a lay down, relaxing bubble bath. Guys.
That is a very weird. I don't know how I forgot that, but that definitely is. Okay, but we're talking
odd.
About that montage at the end where it's like the gym showers, right? Or like the pool showers later.
Okay, that one didn't stick to me. That one stuck to me.
Yeah, because there's like choreography and stuff there, but then. The bubble bath, I completely forgot about this.
Yes, the bubble bath one made an imprint
that
in
is
my head.
Wild.
And I was like, what in the heck is
that? That is
right
some
now?
Wild stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of awesome choreography. Now I'm just watching a movie. I should turn this off. Okay.
My number one line. Play. Oh, okay, I see the shower scene now. Yeah, this shower is way too close. Also, why is there a shower in the phone? Why is there a phone in the shower? That's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. The phone in the shower. That makes sense.
That is crazy. But, yeah, man. Yeah, somebody really built that poorly. It's going to be some hanky-panky going on when the showers are that close. Yeah, I thought this was really great. Yeah, Kyle, you pegged me. I'm a boy in love. Coming up on my 1 year anniversary, a love song. And
awesome.
Yeah, thought the line was really great. One day you'll find out. This is what life is all about. You need someone who is just living, who is living just for you. It's pretty dope. Pretty dope. All right, Kyle's number one.
Some of us failed that a couple times.
Hiya, Hugo. Hiya, stupid. But you wanna go get pinned.
You don't know how to live.
Oh, you mean
you get pinned if you could.
Lost your marbles.
You and I are in love.
Are you nutty?
Know this before?
Hello, Mrs. Garr. Finest charity home from school yet.
Did they really get pinned?
Go steady.
How many minutes? So really, the seconds were this.
Like 15.
That was 17 seconds. I know you were just waiting to pull that one. I just love "Hiya Hugo, are you stupid?" That's just like such a funny, like just coming right out. It's like the guys are so mad that he got pinned because now, you know, the expectations are high, and he's like, "You've given up, you've lost your marbles." But then I wanted to include a little bit of Harvey Johnson at the end.
Oh, this is huge.
I got him in there.
Mm-hmm. You see, I got him in early.
He's all over the place.
Right on. Yeah, but I was going to say, the only person who didn't care about pinning was that guy in the convertible who seemed to pin like 8 ladies.
Yeah, man, he was driving full 5 girls. I was like, that's crazy. I was just looking at that, and I was like, that's not safe. Also, he's
that's
baller.
Part of what I was watching, too.
Like, my boy living a baller life right now.
You were flying.
Jeez. But all right.
If you guys watch that, you can watch that clip. It's only like 30 seconds.
That those are the lines. And now it's time for the artist spotlight.
And the certain artist.
On the artist.
The artist.
Spotlight.
Had a crazy hiccup there. So we are going to pick our featured performers, our favorite performers, and our favorite characters. Who kicked off the lines first? I believe Rick did. So I'm going to go to Kyle here on favorite character and performer.
Okay. I'll just go with Anne Margaret for favorite performer. I think she was really good in all her songs.
Not a bad choice.
Favorite character is tougher. I think I'm going to go with Harry McAfee because I love Paul Lynn so much.
All right.
The dad.
Rick.
I was going to have Vito because I had a twofer.
Oh, he really comes through. And
yeah.
Him for Sunday morning. Just so
favorite performer, I'm going to go with Janet Leigh. Favorite character, I'm going to go with Hugo Peabody. Really, really brought it home with the punch at the end. If it was not for the punch, would definitely not be a Hugo guy.
You guys love that punch.
Went out there and
got to represent.
Defended his
honor.
Yeah. All right,
so, my favorite performer, I had the Rosie Hologram. And
what?
That's why I said I needed a twofer.
That's not a performer. That's a character.
She was performing.
That's a character.
But seriously,
Janet Leigh is already taken.
I said, but seriously, I had Bobby Rydell because I didn't know his voice was so
there
deep.
There you go. You can pick Bobby Rydell.
But my favorite character was Rosie.
Okay. Brought it back around.
Yeah. That was like the
Rosie's solid, you know.
Yeah,
Rosie's solid. Yeah. She's like, you know, get off S or get off the P, right?
Yeah. I like how we have not cursed this episode.
I let one slip.
Did you?
Slip.
Okay.
I said ass, but that's not a curse word.
You did, and I was like, that's not terrible enough. But I was like, we've gotten enough innuendos for the innuendos that we were just like circumventing them.
I realized when we really like a show. Like, if we're all like, okay, this is a solid movie, unless we're cursing because, like, something is so funny and it slips out, we're usually good. But when it's something that sucks, I shouldn't say me. Mad. I should say
If we're mad.
Just let it go.
No, it's probably me too. Yeah. So, we're just like, what the F was going on?
Also, here? I mean, if it's a good movie, if I get like super passionate about something, like if something happened, like if the Hugo punch turned into a full on brawl of some sort, like maybe that would have been like, oh my God, like could you imagine? But but this was just like a solid down the line fastball.
No, as soon as you said something I like and then get mad, every time that happens, I think A Star Is Born.
See, that's a movie we liked, and we started cursing.
Yeah,
but we were mad at things in the movie.
Mad at a very certain person.
So, but all right. Favorite scenes outside of the Hugo puncher. Punch heard around the world, at least around Sweetwater.
Yeah, I mean, Sweetwater, Rick, Texas.
Basically, took the
It's the not hologram Sweet Apple.
That's a Sweetwater, Texas.
I kept calling it Sweetwater, but it's Sweet Apple. I was so confused because in my mind I kept saying Sweetwater that when the cheerleaders had the S.A. Thing, I was like, what does that even stand for? And it wasn't until later during the gym rehearsal they like closing on the banner and it's Sweet Apple. I was like, oh.
Weird name for a town.
Yeah.
You're confused. New York looked just like Ohio the whole time I'm watching the movie. But yes, I did steal a lot of scenes, so you're right.
Favorite scenes. No, it's fine. So, got to talk about the movie somehow.
I'll let someone else take a scene before I take another scene.
I mean, I'll take, for disliking the song so much, the scene, the honestly sincere scene where he basically murders an entire town by dry humping the air was very funny to me.
That was funny.
Like, it was hilarious.
Oh, no.
The funniest part. Like,
even at the end where it's just silent and it's just panning around.
Yeah, it just pans
just
out.
Everyone on the crowd. I'm like, oh, my God.
I was like, the he funniest took all part out. To that was the mayor's wife.
When he calls later.
And she kept opening her legs and everything. And then when he calls later, she's just on the bed.
Yep. Did it again. Very good.
Oh, that's funny.
No.
Oh, my God.
Rick, I'll let you go.
A scene that had me questioning was the scene where Kate is putting on socks. And I'm like, do women actually put socks on like that? And she's like laying down and rolling down. Yeah. And I'm like, why are the back of the socks so far down? Like, is she going to fix that? But I didn't know.
I
think that was like a of the time type of thing, like the baggy sock look.
Yeah, okay, because I was like, man, this is weird. But I think the Conrad one, we love you, Conrad. When they're going back and forth and they meet, and then Hugo walks out and she's like, Hugo. He goes over, he gets like, it's all right. She's just gonna do the song. But because initially I had the thought that, oh, Conrad can end the war. Like, you send Conrad somewhere, you let him shake his hips. Enemy combatants falling down.
They all just fall over, yeah. They're just
but,
all
but then when I thought back so to be, that scene, that only works for women because it roused the men. So then...
No, the whole... end of that scene,
men and women were down during that scene.
They're all
except
down.
For the young kids who were, like, really pissed off. Well... Hugo, he was trying to He's trying to bring his lady back. She fainted. But no, everyone was down.
Maybe they were trapped underneath or something.
But no, I
could really blow a lid on this episode with one phrase, but I'm not gonna do it.
I might. Yeah, I might not.
You should say what the phrase start with.
I think we all know.
We already mentioned the tortoise. Not just one scene, but every time the tortoise shows up, I'm having a good time. And then that Sultan, the Sultan's Ballet, right? Which is a track. It's
an orchestra track.
What do they call it? Instrumental. But that whole scene's insane. Because, like, you know, what's going on under that table?
Yeah, under that table, what's happening?
What's going on? There's hats flying out. I don't know what's going on under that table.
What's happening?
But yeah.
That's crazy.
What's going on under there? If we're done scenes, there's one more thing I forgot to mention.
Oh, go for it.
This did have two Oscar nominations for 1963. Yeah. Best Music Adaptation or Treatment. So this was adapted from the stage play. And then Best Sound nomination. So a lot of good sounds. Huh. Bye bye, Birdie.
Nice. Alrighty. Well, if we've covered our scenes and our performance, that means all we have left is to play a game.
That's the play game. Why do I care?
I used to say I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
We are the time haters.
I'm the brunch.
Bad time.
Looks like you're running out of time.
And it's time to play the Metacritic game.
Alrighty, Metacritic is a website that compiles reviews from all across the internet and other places into a score from 0 to 100. Rick knows that score. Joe and I will try to guess it, but I don't know if Rick knows that score.
Rick knows the score of who is winning. Kyle, that's you. 7-6 now. Okay. No ties.
Yes,
but indeed. I scoured the internet. I scoured Wikipedia. I even went to Metacritic, which is a website.
The website.
You went straight to the source for
one. And I still couldn't find a score for none of the adaptations of this, none of the soundtrack versions of this. So we have no Metacritic for this
movie. No one has ever reviewed this movie.
There's been critic reviews, not via Metacritic.
Not enough, I guess.
I was going to do the, hey, where do you think this ranked on, Entertainment Weekly Top 50 Best High School Movies? They did that in 2006, but I figured everyone would have seen it. 38,
yeah, I already saw that.
Yep. So then I was like, you know what, fellas, I got nothing. So we landed on trying to figure out one of Dick Van Dyke's movies. That's not a musical. We're going to try to figure out where Dick Tracy scored on Metacritic.
This was, what, 93, 92, something like that?
Ooh, I thought it was 90.
I think it was 90.
I think it was 90 flat, yeah.
Okay.
Say, I'm an idiot. If I was smart enough and just looked at Gannon Lee's wiki instead of just looking at the and going to the box as I do, not the paragraph, and saying she's the mother of Jamie Lee Curtis, we should have did Psycho.
We probably should have said Psycho, yeah. I just threw Dick Van Dyke out
we
there.
We can do Psycho. Oh, yeah. It's that simple.
Want to just do it?
Yeah, we can.
Let's look it up real quick.
We can swap it.
I mean, I feel like it's going to be a very small range of, you know, scores to guess, but I feel like we might even just tie if we just do Psycho. But
it feels a little more appropriate.
We could do it.
Psycho it is.
You're looking it up, Rick?
I'm looking it up.
I'm going to send it now. Can we do Dick Tracy for fun?
Yeah, let's also
do after this. Tracy. After this, we'll do
it. We at least made him look it up, so we at least got to do it.
We should probably pay that off yet, but it won't account officially.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Okay. Psycho. Psycho number in. So after reveal, we wanted to Dick Tracy?
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's finish this out, and then we'll send Dick Tracy for funsies.
One at a time.
Let's not get crazy. Yeah,
let's not overload them.
Exactly. As I pull on like 7 devices. All right. So I'll
one device you could use is the microphone.
I had to take my hands, move them.
Overwhelmed with numbers.
Because my computer is so old that it wouldn't give me. Every time I click anything, it will just give me Evil Dead. Evil Dead. Evil Dead. Because that's where it's the top on Metacritic. Because it's right in the next to the search. So I had to pull out the old cell phone. So we have some numbers. We said this movie came out in. One person said 90. Another person said 93.
Well, that was Dick Tracy.
I thought Dick Tracy came out in 97.
Oh, I see what he's doing. I see what's happening.
You can't win.
You lose. Good day, sir.
Do you want to say who wins or loses?
Yes. Kyle had 90.
For the listener.
Brian had 93.
So we're doing Dick Tracy, right?
We're doing Dick.
That's the one that counts. I mean, why change it mid episode? I mean, we agreed to do Dick Tracy. I mean, I'm not saying why. Just changing it. Yeah, I felt after I said it, I was like, I'm gonna be low.
I'm figuring Brian just picked the year he was born as a number.
No, it's not even what I did. I was like. I mean, I was just thinking back to the last quote unquote greatest movie ever done that we talked about, which I think Citizen Kane was like a 99 or something, or 100.
Citizen Kane was 100.
It was 100. I got it wrong. Like,
so I was like, yeah. I mean, Psycho, I feel like he's also renowned. So I was like, got to be somewhere in the upper tier 90s.
Settled on 93. Yeah. Not 90.
I will forever Dick Tracy. Remember that Citizen Kane is 100 because. We were like, hey, Rick, you take a guess. It's the greatest movie. And I said 99.
It does go to 100. That confirms the scale goes to 100.
It's crazy.
All right. I don't know if it goes to zero, but.
Dick Tracy? I got zero intel on Dick Tracy.
I'm going to send know if people like a number right now. All right.
People like it?
I do know this. It is generally disliked, okay. It was generally panned. So I won't hold that information secret on a game that doesn't matter because it doesn't count. Right.
Number
I will let you know that.
Generally panned. Warren Beatty. This is late stage Beatty. 1990.
Madonna was in it.
Madonna was in it?
I know that much. Madonna was in it.
Should have did Howard the Duck. I need to look that up on Metacritic. A beloved movie.
You talk about Howard the Duck a lot.
Because really I need to rewatch it. No, I liked it as an adult.
Too often.
I mean, as a kid. I hated it as an adult.
I see.
So,
Leah Thompson.
Now that I'm more refined, maybe I need to rewatch it again.
Yeah, now that you have a little more.
I had a funny conversation with your son. As we continue delaying this a little bit longer, I had a funny conversation with your son yesterday. We were talking and he was like, I was like, yeah, I haven't been to the movies in a while. We're going to go see My Neighbor Totoro today, but then next week I'm going to see The Odyssey. He was like, oh, man, that looks really good. I think that looks really good. I plan on checking it out. I was like, yeah, looks really good. And then we were talking, and he was like, man, you really liked Oppenheimer. Who's the director of that? I was like, oh, Christopher Nolan. He was like, what? Does he have anything he's working on right now? I was like, The Odyssey. He was like, oh, man.
The movie that looks really good.
I was like, yeah, man.
Looks really good. He is studying for his finals. He's putting together PowerPoint presentations.
It's very funny.
He's distracted. He's distracted.
He's very distracted. It was just a funny exchange because like, I was like, I'm not really going to go into the whole The Odyssey. You better go see it. I was like, I'll let a kid live. But then he looped it back naturally in the conversation.
Yeah, he brought it up.
And I was like, you know he's working on The Odyssey. He was like, what?
He and I will talk about it because normally I try to give him recommendations. And when he's heavy on school and he's like, oh, I got this test to study for. I ask him, what day don't you have class that you don't have a test?
As soon as he tells me, I just buy him a movie ticket. And I say, you got to go. Now you have no choice. So he's going to watch that movie.
Alrighty, Dick Tracy.
But Dick Tracy, Kyle, you still would have lost. So we have a 40 and 53.
Damn it.
I was going to say, I didn't hate the movie. If I remembered it from when I was a kid.
I just thought no one liked it.
It's a 68.
Whoa. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Better than some movies that we actually like.
So astray.
68.
That's why when you said what you said, I was like, huh, okay.
Generally panned. That's what I remember from everything I've heard about this.
That's good. Well, this doesn't count, but still.
You can't win.
Hey, well.
You literally can't.
I don't know.
Not today.
All right. That is all from us and the critics. Let's see if the company has anything to say.
You believe weird comments?
Some comments.
Go on social media and read the comments. We got company.
Comments from the company. We got comments. You have reviews. Heading over to Letterboxd.
So that's what I was looking up.
A terrible entity.
While I was distracted, and I didn't introduce the Metacritic game.
Bye bye.
I was like, do I know anyone else who reviewed this?
Only the two of you folks.
So I have one person I follow, Cameron, but I want to read it just because it came up. They gave it 3 stars, but then they say, honestly, the Anne Margaret bumpers make me want to give this thing a 5. So Joe
really
disliked having the outro, but to some,
like the intro, didn't good. Love the outro.
The intro annoyed me, the outro I didn't. Did not. So
to me, the thing is that I was prepared for the intro.
I wasn't prepared for nothing. So I tried to watch this.
Prepared for a damn thing.
So we talked about where to watch it, right? So I tried to watch it for free. There was like 6 commercials and I was like, I can't do that. But it started
on like Pluto or Roku.
It started on Pluto. But it started with that Bye Bye Birdie song. So I was like, oh, they must have a bad version. So then I went and got a Howdy.
It started right off the bat.
Yeah. It starts with a song.
And then, because it start right off the bat. Then I went to to
it's
the
like
other one.
Columbia Pictures, Bye Bye Birdie.
Yeah. So then I was like, oh. Huh. But no, I preferred the ending compared to the opening. But what I was going to say. Is since you mentioned Oppenheimer, I figure if we do a bonus episode, we can do like we could pay off like 2 of our rewatches since we got
That's a stretch. We pay off 1 if we do a bonus.
Pay off 1 with 1.
I tried.
We get into 2
we
for
why?
Because
it's a 3-hour movie.
But we're already gonna see it. Like it's not like
3 hours. Like
we're not going
45.
Out of our way. It's. That's 3 hours.
It's 3 hour movie.
2:45 is 3 hours.
It's like two.
That's 3 hours.
Okay. So I tried.
I had no other comments to read. It's 2:52.
Yeah, I was saying it's more than
3 hours.
It's 3 hours.
Damn, 2:52?
Yeah.
You're not getting away with that one.
I remember what he said. He was like, don't worry, but it's not going to be 3 hours.
Yeah, it's 9 minutes less than Oppenheimer. Okay.
You're welcome, he's saying to us all.
Thanks. Thanks, man, Chris. So
alrighty then. Well, I've seen some long movies from people I didn't need to see them from, so yeah, no problem. All right.
Did you see Babylon? Still haven't seen Babylon.
Have not seen that one yet.
Babylon. No, I have not seen Babylon. I refuse. I don't never.
You don't refuse.
I don't
you'll
refuse.
Watch it.
Come on.
You don't refuse. You don't refuse.
I think I see First Man before I get to Babylon in his catalog.
I know. That's the speed bump. That's the speed bump.
But, yeah, if you want to leave a comment for the company, head over to all our social media platforms, at Who Does a Pod. That is at Who Does a Pod. Plug the show, actually. Funny enough, shout out to my two compatriots, my other editors, Jake Soriano and Marcel Robinson. We had a funny little, so Jake has been at the company for like at least almost 3 years now, 2-3 years. And when me and him first introduced each other to each other, I was telling him like, oh, I like Hamilton. He was like, dude, he had worked for the Sacramento Kings. And then when he went into the bubble, in 2020, he was like, all I did was watch Hamilton. I just watched it every day. So we commiserated over Hamilton. Now Marcel,
a lot of us through some of those months.
Marcel's been working with us for about like not 3 months. I think he got here like towards the end of last year. So like seven, eight months or so. And then we were all talking this week because, you know, we had crazy work week. All of us were heads down editing things. And Soriano said something in our group chat. And I was like, it was semi-Hamilton related or Lynn related. And I was like, oh, you know, Chris Jackson just announced that he's going back to do Hamilton.
West End?
And then.
Are you?
No. Broadway. Leslie Odom's going to the West
End. I know that.
Chris Jackson's going back to Broadway.
Nice.
And Marcel came in and said, it's almost like he wants to be in the room where it happens. I was like, whoa. Are you a Hamilton fan? He was like,
it's coming together.
It's still played to this day in my house. I was like, oh, snap. So then I told him about the podcast. Told him to check it out.
There you go.
Of course.
That's the next question.
So yeah, that was very funny. So shout out to my two.
Shout out if you're listening. Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Wait for it.
Maybe they threw it on.
But yeah, head over to at Who Does a Pod on all your social medias. If you head over to our Instagram, you could hit the link in bio, get into the Discord, see the Family Guy thing that Rick dropped in. If you head over to Blue Sky, check our
Except for one word, apparently.
Oh, no, so the word is said a lot.
Click on our pinned post.
A lot?
That'll also
what are you doing?
Family Guy, man. Well, you can't help Family Guy and the FCC rules of the early 2000s.
Oh, it's not always at that kind of thing.
Yeah, check out our pinned post on Blue Sky. That'll also get you into the Discord. Kyle.
We are part of the Anulo Network. Go to anulo.co to check out all the other shows that are there. While you're there, check out that merch page.
Merch.
Because we got some shirts.
Shirts.
Shirts for the Ham Boys, shirts for the company, shirts with Big Link Energy, shirts in so many different colors. Because if you buy a shirt in every color, you will win the Ham Boy Challenge, which means...
I don't think we can get on the Ed Sullivan Show because I believe it is canceled. He is not currently running.
No longer with us.
That's unfortunate to hear. But we can head over to Sweet Apple. Almost said water again. Sweet Apple. You know what I think of Sweet Water? Sweet Water is a beer company here in Georgia.
Sweetwater
420, great beer. You can head over to, we'll head over to Sweet Apple, Ohio. I'll meet you there. And we could do the 14 songs from Bye Bye Birdie soundtrack, 46 songs from the Hamilton soundtrack. Not laying a smooch on anybody, not gonna do that. Except my wife. My wife will be probably.
Or you might get punched in the face as you try to.
Yeah, pretty much. And if you have a headphone joe.etsy.com, that's true. Because you know what? My wife is not a cuck. Head over to headphonejoe.edit.com.
It's on the record.
That was the word I was, Hugo. I was like, Hugo.
Man. Oh, that's really, what you
looking,
okay,
really looking like
okay.
a cuck, my boy. But he stood up for himself at the end there.
Another Hamilton reference.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Make you do the cuckold. No.
The other way around. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But if you head over to headphonejoe.com and get just one of each shirt, not even every color, just one of each shirt, you complete the Headphone Joe challenge, and then we can perform the 45 songs from my catalog, TV season 2, Outside 30, and Mama's Boy. Yes. Also check me out on all social media at Joe8Isidore. That's Joe8Isidore, and you can check out my. What was I going to say? I completely froze there.
Check out your merch?
I was going to say, you can check me out on Letterboxd at Joey Isidore as well. Oh, okay. Yes. Okay.
Right, because you said the merch is part of the challenge.
Yeah, I said the merch. And then, Kai, where can we find you?
You can find me on Letterboxd under Hurlhauser, where I keep a list of all the movies we've covered on this podcast. You can also find me on the Discord talking... to Rick. Where do we find you?
You can find me on the Letterbox. Maybe not tomorrow because, you know, well, you know what? The France game's at 2 o'clock my time. So I'll be able to,
well, 3 o'clock my time.
To be on the Letterbox and Discord. I try to block everything out while France is playing. World Cup.
Yeah, I know.
World Cup coming to a close, sadly, unfortunately.
Sadly, sadly, sadly. I just wanted to plug the World Cup. And Joe's doing a very good job. I think
the World Cup's doing just fine.
The World Cup doesn't need you, Rick.
The World Cup is
They're
having their best ratings.
Shout out World Cup.
Shout out to Cheers from the press box. That's what I was trying to get to.
Okay, there you go. Speaking of those other shows on the network.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that being said, we will be here not in 2 weeks. We'll be here next week. It'll be releasing on Wednesday, as per usual. This episode, you're getting on Tuesday because we actually missed a week. I explained it earlier. But in 1 week, we will be covering Eddie and the Cruisers. Eddie and the Cruisers.
That's right.
I was completely unaware. Anybody, either of you aware of this film?
Nope.
So who added it to the list then?
I did. I added it to the list.
Oh, okay.
I was going to explain. I was going to explain how it came to my.
I know it because one of the songs actually became like a radio hit.
A hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It got into my
part of what?
What is the word I'm looking for?
Your radar, your atmosphere?
Radar. Thank you.
Okay.
I got it caught on my radar because I was listening to
the hands were doing a lot of work there.
I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast, The Rewatchables, which is a fun listen every now and then. And he was talking Eddie and the Cruisers, and I was like, what is this movie I've never heard of? But I think it was him, Van, and CR. And if Van's on that episode, I'm like 10 times more likely to listen, because Van, even if I don't know the movie, he's going to say something funny and outrageous that would just humor me. And listening to it, Bill said, like, yeah, this a song from it became like such a big hit that it ended up being played on like top 40 radio. And I was like, oh, wow. Well, that's interesting. So then I looked up, saw that I had enough songs, stopped listening to the episode because I didn't know if they were going to say the Metacritic or anything, and then put it on the list.
Nice.
We'll
see.
Have to watch it.
This
on
will be
Tuesday.
Another new to all three of us. Watch
to figure out what song that is.
Yep. All righty. Well, my name is Headphone Joe, and I've been here with
his right hand man
and
left.
She never loved us to feel.